Sundra and I have been chatting a little bit more about is Sila, which we were talking about the other day. And in a dictionary, he was looking up the terms about Pakati Sila and Panyati Sila. Maybe he can introduce it a little more.
Yeah, Tamajan, perhaps I'd just like you to talk about the difference between what's called Panyati Sila and Pakati Sila. You know them.
What is the explanation?
Well, Pakati Sila is called the Sila of the of a natural path of the good path, one that's where there's nothing observed. It's just part of the practice or part of understanding.
What dictionary?
Pakati. it's David's one.
Yeah. And it talks about Pakati Sila as natural Sila as opposed to Panyati Sila as like observance of Sila.
Sila observed by the monks or the laity.
I think that I haven't come across the word Panyati Sila at all.
So how do you understand Pakati Sila?
I think that it should be Sila with right understanding and Sila without right understanding. Because people talk about Sila before the Buddha's enlightenment. So as much as they know about is only abstaining from such and such, or do this, or don't do that, with the idea of self, no understanding at all. So that cannot be the path leading to enlightenment at all. But nomadic people give so great dana, or observe so great sila, even to the Brahma or Aruba Brahma plane, that is not the path. It's not the Samma Patipatha. It is Mitcha Patipatha. It said that all other ways are Mitcha Patipatha. So the Sila without Panya cannot lead to enlightenment at all, because there's no understanding of reality right then. So it cannot be Parami.
So we can probably say that Sila is Sila with Panya, as opposed to Panyati Sila, which...
Because you see that for Sila Panyati or Panya Sila?
Sila Panyati.
Sila Panyati. Have you come across any in the Tipitaka?
Panyati Sila is Panyati Sila. Sorry. Yeah, it was in David's...
The other one is Pakati Sila, Panyati Sila.
Yeah, okay. Pakati Sila.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never come across it before, but it made some sense. Mm-hmm.
There should be the word about where it comes.
Where it comes from. Mm-hmm. There is. It's pretty sure it was in the Pugila Panyati. You haven't got... David, excuse me, you haven't got your book there, have you? Yeah.
Because for Panya Sila, it's like the Sila that everyone think that it is Sila. So, besides Panya Sila, what Panyati else? What else is Panyati? Now you have Panyati Sila and Panyati what more?
Well,
who's the other?
Because it's very kind of well commonly used dictionary. Pakati Sila, nature of genuine morality, is distinct from those outward rules of conduct laid down for either laymen or monks. Those latter are the so-called prescribed morality, Panyati Sila. It doesn't. Panyati Sila, prescribed morality, is a name for the disciplinary rules of the monk or layman prescribed by the Buddha as distinguished from natural or genuine morality.
Sounds like what we were talking about when we were talking about Sila in Sri Lanka, being natural, kusala, natural moments of kusala, akusala.
When we talk about Dhamma, there must be Dhamma, which is Sila, or it must be specific, whether it is citta or cetasika or rupa. See, very, very precise, because what Buddha taught is about reality, which nobody can know by themselves at all.
The problem if one talks about outward rules of conduct, or, for example, observance, like if one goes to a temple and follows precepts or a way of behavior, like when one's helping one's husband at home or something like this, it's a kind of a whole story about a whole situation and so many different heaters. So one cannot say that when one goes to the temple and recites about the precepts, or when one's at home and one's cooking dinner or something like this, that it's kusala at each moment at all. So that's why it has to come back to this moment and understanding citta now. If there's no understanding of kusala and akusala at this moment, there cannot be any understanding of what is kusala sila or akusala sila. And even if one talks about the rules for the monks, the Patimokkha sila, it's not just a matter of not killing, not harming, behaving in a certain way. If there's no understanding of dharmas, there's no understanding, one cannot say that it's kusala sila all the time. Because again, it just comes back to the moment.
What is more precise when we talk about the absolute reality and talk about sila? Because akusala sila must be moment of akusala citta. Kusala sila, moment of kusala citta. No one at all.
He is here in another section. He's referring to pakati sila as the sila of the eightfold path. So sila with understanding, as opposed to just an observance of rules. And then later it talks about Patimokkha Samvara Sila and Indriya Samvara Sila and so on.
I think that when we study just one word at a time, it's better. Otherwise, it's mixed up. For example, talking about sila, what is the nature, the reality of it? Otherwise, it's only the word without any reality at all. So when we talk about the nature of citta and cetasika, every moment, it can be classified by way of akusala sila. The behavior of citta and cetasika, when it's akusala, it conducts or it conditions the speech and deeds in the wrong way. And kusala sila, it has to be the kusala citta and cetasika. So it behaves according to citta, cetasika.
For example, when someone think they are following the precepts, but actually it's just thinking about it. It's not actually any understanding of what sila is, I think.
It's I who observe sila. It's I who will get the result of observing sila. See? So is that the teachings of the Buddha? Not to understand sila as it is. That's why we shouldn't follow just the word, but study carefully the meaning of it or the nature of it. But when there's the understanding of pakati sila, akusala sila, kusala sila, avijagata sila, no doubt. No matter by way of Patimokkha or Indriya Samvara. Can Indriya Samvara be a kusala? And what about Patimokkha?
You could just observe with the idea of a self. I was thinking you're observing with the idea of a self.
So we can divide it into two different ones, with right understanding and without right understanding. With the idea of self or with understanding of no self.
But I think when we read about Patimokkha sila, it's actually referring to moments of kusala sila, and it has to be accompanied by the development of understanding, otherwise there cannot be any knowing of whether it is kusala or not. And so even if it's we're talking about the rules for the monks, it has to refer to kusala citta at such moments. Would you say any more about Patimokkha Sila?
I think that it's for those who renounce the home and entertainment and everything, because they can understand their own accumulation, that that is not suitable for them. It's not just because I want to be a monk. And reading, considering the Patimokkha Sila, so very, very subtle. Because even a moment of enjoy or doing whatever it is like us, cannot be done at all. Have you read about a monk who was at that moment at the lily pond? Do you remember that?
Smelled
it. Yeah, and the deva came. See, even that is not suitable for a monk.
The monk for whom the life is suitable, but he follows such rules with an idea of I follow. And even maybe many kusala cittas, even though no understanding of Dharma, can one refer to it as Patimokkha Sila?
So why being a monk?
If there's no development of understanding.
I think each word of the teachings of Buddha brings about understanding, reality. That's why we read about sila. What is it? Beginning with what is it? What is it? To understand better and better later on. If we don't understand from the very beginning, what is it? We have no understanding.
When people talk about outward observance of rules and outward appearance and outward sila, actually, it's not any sila because it's just an idea of a certain situation, reciting certain precepts, but actually no understanding of sila at all. But what do you think?
Often, you know, it's when I'm thinking, especially earlier on, when I think of sila, I think of a practice. Something that I do or that other people do, and to make to have the understanding that sila is not really about, you know, sila, Eightfold Path sila is different from what we probably refer to as Panyati sila. It's hard to make that connection, hard to see that sila or Pakati sila is what the Buddha is speaking about, because you don't hear it anywhere. That's not spoken about. It's not normally understood in that way. It's a practice everywhere that I hear, outside of what you're talking about, Kunsujin, is sila, samadhi, panya. It has to go in that order. It has to be a graduated path. It has to be a this, then this, then this, then this. Not understanding at the present moment, which can lead forwards. There's always that sectioning off or that bracketing off of this is will eventually lead there, but you need to do this first. So yeah, it's misleading and confusing, I think, sometimes.
I guess after listening to Ajahn Suchin and discussing with the group for many years, and while I'll quite freely admit I have not been an extensive reader of the Dipitaka, it seems to me that when one is looking at sila, samadhi, what was your third? Bhavana? Panya. That does not fit with anatta. That is choosing and doing things, I believe, with expectation. If I develop sila, then I can develop samadhi. And that all seems to go counter to understanding that citta, cetasika arise by conditions. And those conditions, I've never seen or heard of a condition that is a progression of, we'll start with these conditions and then move on to samadhi and then move on to panya. So while it may be grouped that way in some writings, I find myself thinking there has been some misinterpretation of the way that was written down at some point by someone, because it's very counter to letting things, the natural arising of citta and cetasika by conditions, without trying to force, without expectation, without wanting, without wishing. As soon as you start putting a pattern on it like that, which is conceptual, you move away from even an intellectual understanding of anatta.
I thought that Jana Ponika also wrote about Burmese meditation.
This is the client.
His teacher. Did he follow meditation too? Jana Tiloka?
His writings
and translations are quite good. He doesn't write about meditation like other
and what about Satipatthana?
Mostly his writing is just translations and dictionary. Many common ideas. I think that what we forget, or what people forget, is that when it talks about, for example, sila, samadhi, panya, that, for example, if one's talking about the visuddhi, the purifications, like there has to be sila visuddhi first before citta visuddhi, panya visuddhi. But that means sila is only purified with the development of right understanding. Otherwise, it's not purification. So the sotapanna is the one that cannot harm, breaking the precepts, cannot kill, and so on, because the sila has been purified through the development of right understanding. So it's not a matter of, and the same with citta visuddhi, so it's not a matter of sila, samadhi, and then panya, the purification of sila from the very beginning, even now, has to begin with right understanding at this moment. That's why, as we discussed this morning, one can talk about all kinds of situations when I'm kind to my husband, or I feed the dogs, or I have metta to everyone. But if there's no understanding now, nothing will be known about when there is kusala sila, when there is kusala citta. So it cannot be developed, it cannot be purified. So from the beginning, the development of right sila has to go along with right understanding.
Because you see that before the Buddha's enlightenment, people in those days, they developed high degree of sila, samadhi, and panya, but they do not realize that there are no one, no self at all. So even sila is not self, is not I, any word in the Tipitaka.
I think it's easy to see how, if a person hasn't heard about or considered the teaching on not self and development of awareness, that sila could only be done, as it were, with an idea of self. And I don't suppose the Buddha encouraged that because his whole teaching was against that. So although he encouraged other levels of kusala, it was only in the context of kusala that is developed along with an understanding of dhammas as not self. Otherwise, he'd have been encouraging people to develop kusala in a way that also increased the idea of a self who can purify or develop or progress.
And if it's not the understanding of reality, it's not the teachings of the Buddha at all.
The other day about Janusani arriving in the white chariot with the white horses, and so people have many ideas of what purity is. They think dressing in white clothes or going to the temple or presenting flowers or lighting candles is purity or sila. And before the Buddha lived, people also have these ideas, all sorts of ideas of purity and dressing in a certain way. But the Buddha showed that all these outer appearances and symbols are not what purity is. Purity has to come back to the citta now. If one's dressing in white and going to the temple and presenting flowers and it's all because one wishes to have a happy afterlife, no kusala citta at all. So it always comes back to, see, kusala citta has to come back to this moment now.
And I think the problem is that people begin with the idea or are told that understanding can't be developed until these other stages have been developed to a certain unspecified extent. So if one starts with that idea, then obviously one is not open to the possibility of developing awareness from the beginning. But from our discussions, we come to understand, I think, that it's quite possible because they are different kinds of kusala that have been developed in the past. The kusala for sila, the kusala for samadhi, the kusala for satipatthana. And if there is the hearing of the teaching properly explained, then it's quite possible to see how there can be the beginning of development of understanding of dhammas. But if one starts from the other position, then it would never... Yeah, precludes it.
You mentioned a good expression about how we're seduced by visible object, and actually it's true, we're seduced by visible object and the outer appearance all the time. We think that if someone is at the temple reciting the precepts that this is all good and pure, or someone is feeding the dogs that it's all metta, or we're seduced by visible object and are thinking about it, but usually no understanding of citta now. And when we appreciate how little understanding there is of citta now, whether it's kusala or akusala now, whether there's sati now or not, how can it possibly be known about the others either?
Morning, when I told you about the heat, I feel the heat like the pain on the finger. That was the story. But the real thing to the study Dhamma is right now at the present. I agree with that. You know, this morning just was the story. So seeing, hearing, thinking, that was the thing that supposed to be understand. So please understand that we not go away from seeing at this moment, hearing at this moment.
Because like we discussed this morning, we can think about, oh, the toothache we had yesterday and wonder if there was any sati, or think about the warm finger or the pain in the hospital last year, or the delicious lunch, and think about whether there were any kusla or akusla cittas. But now the reality is just a lot of thinking about ideas about what happened and wondering and having doubt. So actually, the development of understanding always comes back to this very moment. Like right now, there is hardness, there is seeing. So if there's no understanding now of what is real, thinking now, visible objects seen now, then it won't develop, it won't arise at another time. So actually, what's gone is completely gone. It has to be understanding now. And at lunch, at the end of lunchtime, when Kun Ao was drinking her iced coffee, and I said, any toothache now? And actually, no thought of it, because we might think, oh, I have warm finger or toothache all the time, but actually a moment of loba, no thought of toothache, no pain at all. Or so we can see just the understanding has to come back right now. If it's loba now, that's what is real. If it's hardness now, that's what's real. But usually, again, we're deceived by our thinking about a story of, oh, I had this experience all day yesterday or something like that. But actually, just like now, just different dharmas arise, fall away. Not my pain, not my special experience, not my drama yesterday, just moments of seeing, moments of hearing, arising, falling away, very, very ordinary, nothing special at all.
Another topic
related to the Sila one that we were discussing that I think Sandra would like to discuss a bit more is related on the ants and the bombs and King Bimbisara and a little bit of dilemma of on that perhaps.
So there are two kinds of sila, the Panjati sila and Pakata sila. We can find Pakata sila in the Pitaka, but we cannot find the Panjati sila. Yeah.
Tanajan, the question that I have sometimes difficulty with is reading in the Vinaya, one time King Bimbisara, there was some trouble in the kingdom, and he said to one of his ministers, see to it. That's the translation. I remember the Pali, I don't think I looked that up. And I was often thinking, so he was a Sotapanna, King Bimbisara was a Sotapanna, and he said to his ministers, one of his ministers, there was some problem on the boundaries or in the kingdom, outside on the edge of his kingdom, and there were some problems happening, and he just said to his ministers, see to it. Now, I've often wondered, it seems difficult. I know his intention, as a Sotapanna, he can't have intention to harm, but I'm thinking, that would be difficult, because I can imagine that fellow might interpret it in all sorts of ways, that he can do whatever he likes to stop the problem. And I was thinking just recently, I don't think I would like to say that. I would have difficulty. But
what about the law of karma?
Well, the law of karma revolves around chetana, and if your intention is not to harm, then that's okay.
Just have people live happily.
Ideally. Ideally, but it won't always happen like that. So I was thinking when he said that, and one of his ministers did something akusala, akusala kamapata even.
What for?
Well, to stop problems or stop thievery or stop, did something. Sorry.
Rebellion,
yeah, or problems.
Let it be. No police, no law.
No, you're right. I know. I'm just thinking. It would be difficult, I can imagine, being a king, I suppose. That's what I was thinking. And then when I read this...
I thought the Banna king is better than ordinary king.
Oh, truly. True. Of course. But his intention is not to harm, but there was probably harming anyway.
To help.
Harming to help. Intention to help.
And then he chose the ministers in the first place. So he knows, presumably, something about their particular accumulations and tendencies. So perhaps the minister may not act in as dastardly a way as you might assume. We don't know the background to it.
No, it's a good point, Jonathan. I agree. I wasn't thinking so much along those lines, that perhaps he was rather shrewd and careful in his appointment of the ministers. However, I was thinking, oh, it's a difficult problem, what to do when there's
rebellion. Do good and study Dhamma.
Wheel-turning monarch has a huge standing army of very skilled soldiers who are able to enforce peace around the world.
Dilemmas about, oh, what would I do in this situation, and oh, but if he did this, then this and this might be the consequence. And it's actually because of lack of firm confidence in Dhammas, because one's thinking about that circumstance or that situation, like, oh, if I went into a bathroom and there are ants in my shower, and what would I do? But actually, if one's in the shower and one has kusala cittas, then one just acts accordingly and takes care of the problem. Or if one's the king and one's a sotapanna, one doesn't even think about harming or killing. So one just does what one thinks is best at that time. And it might mean that what one thought was best, actually many people may suffer, but at that moment, one's intention is just to help or do good, and one doesn't need to think so much about the circumstances or the situation.
Can Sotapanna be a judge?
Why not?
See? The same. As can a Sotapanna be a king?
Judge, he can sentence people to death. Part of the judge's job. As a judge, he could pass sentence
of death on a prisoner without breaching the precept.
According to the law, it's not his own intention.
Not his own intention. Remember, Jonathan, and you and I had this conversation years ago. So he could pass us, if the law says that the death penalty shall be applied if someone is found to have killed, and the judge finds someone to have killed and therefore pronounces the death penalty, he can do that without intention that the person...
He just read the law.
Okay, reads the law. What about?
Could be the president of America.
No, he's got a lot more on his head than that. Okay. And the lawmakers who make the law, I'm looking at both of them, and the lawmakers who make the law, their intention is that where a person causes the death of someone
just
else.
Like the law of monks laid by Buddha, but this is not worldly matters.
No.
When it's sila.
But it is the intention of the lawmakers that where to a person...
what?
Well, where a person is found to guilty of killing, mm-hmm. killing someone else, that the law, that, but then they don't apply the law. It's to preserve harmony in society.
Yes. That's their intention yes. when making those, writing those laws, and the laws are written according to the decisions of policy makers. So the right, the laws according to the decisions that have been made to preserve that harmony in society. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there would be no lawyers, no police officers.
Oh, I understand that piece. Yeah. I'm just looking for... So prisoner X is executed as a result
by
of...
By his own karma.
By his own karma. So there was no intention anywhere for the killing of prisoner X.
Well, certainly in the case of the lawmakers, they didn't have prisoner X in contemplation. They didn't have any individual in contemplation. This is, gets back to Sarah's point about being clear on what is the intention is. And it's obviously a present moment intention to take the life of another being. Accompanied by some action or
yes.
other.
So the executioner Akusala Kamapata.
Well, again, it would have to depend on his intention.
And his intention either can be to do as he was instructed or not.
Well, this is possibly the realm of speculation. Clearly, he could intend to.
He could.
Yeah.
That's right. I guess that's where
I suppose
going with
at
it.
The other end of the spectrum, it may be possible, but this is just speculation to say, well, he's just following the steps laid down in the manual. But I don't think there's much point in trying to.
No.
Example we've discussed before, and I was mentioning, like, even someone's on a plane and releases the bomb, who can say what the intention is at that moment, because he's there and he's told at a certain point to release the bomb and he releases the bomb. One can't say that that person necessarily has intention to kill or harm. Actually, that's why sila and all these issues, it all comes back to the citta at this moment, not the story or the situation. But while one thinks in terms of the story and situation, there will always be dilemmas and difficulties.
What would you say on that one, Ajahn? Sorry, Ajahn. The
bombardier, as we call them in English, the bombardier, the one who presses the button to release the bomb.
Akusala sila, kusala sila, or abhyagata sila. That's all. Like now, akusala citta, no matter where and when and how, is akusala sila.
Not necessarily kamapata.
It is not that level of kamapata. Otherwise, each moment of akusala must be kamapata.
The purpose of the trip may be to deactivate some armaments or something, and many innocent people may be killed, but the cause of their death is karma.
There was never questioning the cause
of their death. I guess I was looking for, was there, if, or, you know, if there is kusala kama pata on someone's count. And we don't know because we don't know the intention. That's right.
I think that it's all about people and things thinking with the idea of I.
understanding of dharmas at this moment, like seeing now, visible object now, kusala now, akusala now, then there can never be any understanding of sila or dana or sati or anything else. So it has to be the understanding now of dharma. Otherwise, we just think in terms of a long story about my painful arm yesterday or the executioner or the bomber, or but actually nothing is known about what sila really means at this moment or what dana means at this moment. Doubt or confusion.
Killing the people is good. Killing the people is good.
Intention to kill is not. It's
akusala. Right. So, you know, when I study, I can separate the two things, good and bad, and listen to Ajahn and so in other words, that sil, sin, is a pogati. That means to do sin in Thai, okay? I mean like a normal behavior of the people. So you don't have, you know, if you normal is good people, you always do good. For the people who have accumulated a lot of bad habits, bad things, they always do bad. That's why sin is very important to the life at the beginning.
Now, because now there's no thought of killing or harming. But what about now? Is it kusala sila now or akusala sila now?
It depends when you listen. If you understanding, it should be kusala. And if you listen and you don't understand and you not disagree, you disagree what you listen, that is akusala. But most of the time, I listen and I agree. And even a lot of time, I don't understand, but it just be patient to listen, and one day I may be understand what the Buddha teaching.
What about now?
Seeing, at that moment of seeing, any kusala sila?
Seeing at the moment cannot, if you don't understand the, what seeing me is, okay, it's not it is a kusala.
Just a moment of vipaka, so it's not kusala sila or akusala sila. The point is, it's not kusala sila all the time while we're sitting in the garden listening to dharma, because at a moment of seeing now, result of karma, just visible object seen, no sila. At the moments of other vipaka cittas, no sila at all. And only when there are moments of kusala or akusala can we say there is sila. And so even when one's listening, even listening carefully, cannot be kusala sila all the time. So it's very brief, very momentary, falls away instantly. We cannot say even now, oh, I'm listening and I'm understanding what Ajahn says is kusala sila, because actually just a moment and then gone. So that's why we discuss more about dharma now, so we can see how very short and brief each dharma is. It arises by its conditions, falls away instantly. Mm-hmm. Not my sila or anyone else's sila. Mm-hmm. And not sila that lasts even an instant. So brief.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And then if we understand more about
what sila is now, then we know at other times, like yesterday or tomorrow, or when we see an insect or a snake, we know also it's just like now, moments of seeing, result of karma, kusala jitas, kusala sila, akusala jitas, akusala sila. Different dharmas arise, fall away, very, very quickly, changing all the time.
And understanding more about the
dharmas now, this is the way to very gradually give up the idea of I or my sila or my good deeds or my good behavior or my seeing.
No,
only by understanding just dharma as conditioned at this moment.
I agree with you everything, but I believe that what I did, it just come from the inside to helping the people to be good friends and not negative to the people. And I think it did the normal. And it's got to begin from this and listen to Ajahn and learning what the Buddha teaching. And one day I should be able to know more than this.
So I think that when we listen to the Buddha
and when Ajahn points to what the Buddha said,
mm-hmm.
what is said is about this moment, this very moment,
right.
because the Buddha said don't dwell on what's past or dream of what
right.
hasn't come. So don't think of, mm-hmm. we don't have to think about good deeds done yesterday or that which hasn't come. How about this moment? Develop understanding so that there is insight into present Dharma, like seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the highest good, higher than any other kind of good, because it's the good which develops without without an idea of I am doing good. So just a moment of understanding of seeing now or visible object now is more precious than any other kind of good. So the beginning has to be at this moment, understanding Dharma
yeah.
at this moment.
Be honest with you, I never think that what I did to the people, I do good, believe me. You know, I respect to the Buddha teaching, and I still listen, I still learning, and every moment, if I have a chance to listen, I win.
And we appreciate your keen
interest to listen and consider and study the teachings.
And I also appreciate your kusala towards other people that you described. But coming to this discussion session, for example, we are not so much talking about how to behave towards other people, because we have a reasonable understanding of what is kusala behavior and what is not, what is metta and so forth. But there's more to the teachings that needs to be considered. For example, if it's possible, we can think about the teaching in relation to the seeing and visible object of the present moment, which I think you'll agree is more difficult to understand than the teaching about doing good to other people. It's the natural inclination for everyone to want to help other people more and be kinder and be a better person and be more considerate. But it's the deeper teaching that is difficult to grasp. Is it useful to talk about the deeper part of the teaching and to consider what the Buddha said about the dhammas of the present moment? Is it useful?
I may not be able to describe my understanding about the Buddha teaching too well as if I can explain in Thai, but I will do the best I can, because it, seeing or hearing at the moment, after seeing disappear, it's not there anymore. Same thing with hearing. And at the short moment of seeing or the short moment of hearing, it's only the object to see, not the person, not anything. And same thing when you hear the sound, it's just the sound. So if the beginning of understanding is just the sound, why those sounds can bother you, right? So if you understand this, the daily life is getting to understand it, that even the sound, if the people say something bad, it's just the sound. The true Dhamma, it there. And you got to understand that if you did not like that sound, why? Got to understand that. And you understand that the sound is the sound, it's not your. It's going to become easy on the daily life and start to understand that rupa, nama, or citta, cetasika, it's not your. What my goal is to understand it, the difference on is rupa is not citta, and citta it's not cetasika. Those three things, yeah, when they're together, you're in trouble because you think that everything is yours. But if you understand separately on each one of them, and each of the Dhamma, and it happened, it's just a short period of time and disappear, that the start, the beginning to understand is hearing, is seeing, and is thinking.
Moment means understanding more about Dhamma, different Dhammas, yes. And this is the teaching of the Buddha about Dhammas. And David, I think you mentioned yesterday evening that you would like to discuss more about karma and mano karma, vachi karma, kaya karma.
I did say that. And I would like, if possible, John could clarify the kamapata through mind again.
I think that we're still talking about a story, see. But when there is the understanding of reality, there's no doubt about all those words at all. Because you see that there are many levels of akusala. For example, at this moment of seeing, who knows? 3 moments after seeing has fallen away, akusala arises, ready to arise as asava, very, very weak one that nobody can know that at all. This is not kamapata. And when it is the akusala citta, which at that moment one knows or realizes about one's attachment, aversion, and whatever, jealousy or ego, those moments are not me, not self, but it's only different realities. By understanding more about the realities as the self, it will bring more about understanding different level of akusala and kusala. So now we come to understand the anusya and the one which arises and which is known, and when it's so strong that one can do ill deeds, that is kamapata. If you want to know understand the difference between the kaya kamma, vachi kamma, and mano kamma, it said we have to know that how many kamma are the kaya kamma through body, how many are vachi kamma, and how many are mano kamma. For example, there is like and dislike all the time. This or that, like or dislike, but it's not up to the degree that it think about harming or doing ill deed at all. So at moment of planning or thinking about doing ill deeds, that is kamma through mind, or which will condition the kamma through speech and deeds. By then it is considered as kamma, mano kamma. But when you just go along and you see something and you pick it up and take it home when it's priceless. It is akusala citta, but it does not belong to anyone. But the deed has been done. So it is kaya kama, not manokama. No intention before to do ill deeds. It just happened. So it's not as wrong as manokama. The same as dislike. As long as there is no intention to harm the others by way of stealing or killing or whatever, that is only vajikama, when it's speech, when you get angry and you speak such and such word which is not proper. At that moment, it is vajikama. But if you plan with your anger is so great that you will go and talk badly to that person, it is manokama, because it's planned. Like Abrahama went to see Buddha and talk badly to him, that is manokama.
This brings result.
I think the kama is not easy to understand because they are accumulated, lots and lots and lots, and we don't know which one combined with the other one to produce any vipaka at what time. Like now they're seeing, who knows, the results of what kama. Even it is a kusla vipaka or kusla vipaka is unknown. Just pass along without any understanding. So it's not that we can understand the teachings just by reading the Buddha's word, but there must be the understanding which has been accumulated enough. Like people in the Buddha's time, only few words, but they have accumulated lots of understanding of reality, so that only few words he could understand at that very moment what is there. And that person can become enlightened, not even in those days, even today, if there is enough accumulation of understanding of reality right now. So it depends on, now there are only realities, but what about the understanding of realities? Enough or not enough? At the moment of having such kilesa, no need to call it what? Whether it is monokama or not. Not necessary. But the thing is that it's not I. The most important thing is understanding it as not I, only a reality.
And also, like, one may read about all the factors which make it an act of killing, like knowing it's a sentient being and the harm to the intention to kill, and then the death and all the rest of it, and then it's kamapata, either manokama or kaya kama, depending on the how much planning there is in advance. But it can also be partial kamapata, like one may intend to kill but the insect doesn't die, so it's not kamapata, but it can support other karma. So intricate and detailed. And then on manokama, like people know when there's an act of giving or performing a good deed that it's kusala karma, but what about when it's right understanding of reality? It's manokama, very high degree of kamapata, so the most precious of all is moments of understanding at this moment, the best good of all.
Yeah, when karma is done, like hurting the other or trying to kill, but that person doesn't die at all. It can be kamapata, but it's not completed. So that kind of karma, which is not completed, cannot condition rebirth consciousness, but it can produce result later.
In the form of birth consciousness, or just as some event?
Like, now, hearing, like,
not of the degree that can bring the result of rebirth and other results in that way, but it can support and bring other results during life, depending.
I think I'm more interested in the in Akusala in terms of result, because you know, we have Anusya and Kilesas, and you know, these are through acts able to bring negative results. So I.
When you refer to like the Anusya and the which are the dormant Kilesa and the Asavas, the subtle ones, these are not of the degree that can condition harmful deeds. It has to be the strong Akusala that can, but the tendency is there, and the Kilesa now at moments of annoyance or attachment are accumulated.
Yeah, for example, the tendency to be irritable, and then this proceeds and proceeds, and finally there's offensive speech or some action, right? That's what I'm talking about.
So that's why
karma is accumulated, and when it is karma that is of the degree that can bring result, it's not just because of one moment, it's because of the long accumulated karma over a long, long time. Blue, one is angry and one just snapped and said something offensive, but actually, as we know, nothing is out of the blue. It's conditioned and accumulated to be that way. We were also discussing a little bit about different kinds of karma, reproductive, supporting, and so on. Anything you'd like?
It's really not so well formed in my mind. Tanajan, you're probably familiar with the concepts of Katata Kamma and Achinna Kamma and Janaka and some of those other ones. I'll think about it more some other time, but perhaps the kind of Kamma that conditions rebirth, what they call sometimes death proximate Kamma.
Yeah, but we have to understand why Buddha thought about this. Because the core, the essence of his teaching is understanding reality as the self. But since it's so very, very subtle and great ignorance and attachment blind the true nature of reality right now, that's why without understanding more about what is wholesome and what is not wholesome, then there must be more unwholesomeness if Panya doesn't see the danger of Akusala. That's why he talked about sila and kamma, no matter it is vajikamma, kayakamma, or manokamma, just to see the danger of Akusala in order to not to follow the kilesa as before because of the understanding. So the point must be the understanding, not just wanting to clear the thinking about whether it is vajikamma, manokamma, or kayakamma, because it cannot be clear when there is no understanding of no self and no one at all. For example, usually people forget about Dhamma. We are talking about sila, and we forget about Dhamma. All dhammas are anatta. So if there is the understanding of Dhamma as the stepping stone from the intellectual understanding, stepping stone to the moment of direct awareness, this is more important. Because reality right now cannot be insight at all. With panya at level of just intellectual understanding. So by having very firm confidence on anatta, non-self, no matter what is taught, like seeing, it brings down to not-self, only a moment of experiencing an object. At that moment, what sila is there? See, this is more important than just try to read in step by step about karma and so on. But at this very moment, is it sila? At moment of understanding of seeing, when there is seeing, can be. Understanding is different from ignorance. So at that moment of understanding, beginning from maybe thinking that it is seen now, or it sees, see, little by little, at that moment it is kusala sila, because it is kusala. If we read about kusala sila, akusala sila, and we don't know at this moment whether it is kusala or akusala sila, it's useless. So I think that all the teachings about everything condition the patipatti. Because without right understanding of realities, no condition for sammasati to arise, to be aware of whatever is now. And this is the point. Otherwise, from life to life, we hear about the teachings with the idea of self, not understand that it has to be understood any time, any moment. When one understands about Dhamma, not I who tries to know this or that.
Can one say, for example, like
when one reads about these different kinds of karma, or also about the different yavana cittas and the results, it just shows the very intricate nature of the way karma works and how realities are conditioned. So it's just to show how no one is involved. It's just very, very intricate different dharmas all arising that have to be exactly the way they are because of these different conditions.
Oh, if you just want to understand the karma and the vipaka, it's time to understand, seeing that, if you like to call it, it's vipaka. But to know better than that, uncontrollable, because karma condition it. If there is no karma, there will not be seeing, hearing, smelling, or anything arising at all. So one can realize that since there is still kilesa, there must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Most of the time, akusala. But when there is more understanding, it conditions right awareness. And this is the point of helping people to understand reality, not just only from hearing, but to understand, to have the understanding step by step. Because without intellectual understanding, there's no condition for right awareness at all. And we think about the right path, and we talk about right understanding. Excuse me. But you see, how can there be right awareness of the Eightfold Path if there is no understanding of reality right now? So vipaka is this moment conditioned by the karma which is unknown from that life, maybe this life. By then, one will not have aversion to the person who one might think that he harmed me, something like that. because it's only vipaka. Nobody can condition seeing at all. Only kamma. By understanding this, Panya can see the difference between akusla and kusla, and can condition kusla more and more. What follows vipaka? Oh, kusla or akusla?
What follows vipaka?
After seeing.
Seeing you have got. Then you would have.
Sampaticchana.
Unknown.
Unknown.
Yeah. That's why in Sutta, no, Sutta talks about Sampaticchana, Santirana, and Votapana at all. But talks about vitaka.
Thinking.
Because after seeing consciousness, vitaka arises from then on. Even the next moment after seeing Sampaticchana, there must be vitaka arising as factor of Sampaticchana. Because Sampaticchana does not see at all. So one can see that it seems like there is seeing all the time, but actually what jetasics are there with seeing? Only 7. But after that, more than 7. This is the way to see that nature of reality as not self and uncontrollable. It can lead to have less attachment to the elements when there is more understanding of elements. Is visible object an element? So it is the object of attachment. So only an element can be object of attachment with ignorance. It can condition like or dislike, even killing, stealing or what? Yeah, or dana or anything.
About the Mangala Sutta, and Sundrul was saying that in the introduction in the commentary, which I haven't read, it's talking about how at the time all sorts of other signs were considered auspicious, such as what, the pregnant lady and white bird or whatever, rainbow, and the Buddha talked about the truly auspicious blessings, starting with avoiding of the fool and association with the wise. And when we read about avoiding the fool and associating with the wise, is it just a conventional meaning, or can one say that actually it's really referring to moments of, like a moment of understanding, it is the association with the wise because at that moment there is understanding? Or is it talking like conventionally about the good friends?
Who's the good friend?
Well, the one that
gives good reminders about what is wholesome. But of course it depends, like someone may be associating with a good friend but they don't appreciate it at all because of their kalesa. So
that's why associate with the Buddha's words.
Yes. There's actually the Buddha
association. Buddha's words. So it actually refers to moments of understanding. And avoiding the fool means avoiding kilesa or wrong understanding.
Wrong person.
Right.
Who does not help anyone to understand the teachings.
But it actually has to come back to one
thing. Citta at that moment.
And it can conform with living alone. So each word of the Buddha conform the whole teachings. Yeah. That's why Pariyatti is the person who is very experienced in understanding reality, not the word. Yeah, when we talk about Pariyatti, it does mean only listening or reading the text or the word, but it is the understanding wisely, correctly of each word. It does mean that anyone can understand the teachings, the whole text, Vinaya, Sutta, and Abhidhamma, just one word. And it conforms with other words, like Dhamma, see. If there is clear understanding of Dhamma, what is Dhamma, whatever is real at this moment, is conditioned. It cannot arise by itself at all. That's why there is always Dhamma from birth to death. And the more there is the understanding of the true nature of Dhamma, with detachment from clinging to the idea of self, is conditioned for sammasati. So there must be the correct understanding of what sammasati is, not just going someplace, sit, walk. That cannot be sammasati at all.
Sutta from our discussion
here. Teaching Dhamma and discussing Dhamma is Mangala.
I guess one of the
listening to Dhamma, excuse me.
One of the things that I noticed, well, the very first thing it says, asewana, to stay away from the bala. Is that significant? Because he starts off by saying to stay away from foolish people, and then to associate with the wise. So the Buddha put to stay away from the foolish person first, and then to associate.
Not follow the fool.
Mm. Mm.
We can be friend, but not follow. Because it would conform with the metta, see, unlimited. Yeah.
Not follow one's wrong understanding. So actually, yes, whether in the forest or in the city, with or without people, in the end, living alone with right understanding, not following wrong understanding or wrong practice, because even if one is living alone in the forest or in the meditation center, but following one's wrong practice, actually it's associating with the fool.
Living alone is the understanding of seeing, at moment of seeing, no one there at all. Beginning from understanding more and more, little by little, until so firm, no one at moment of seeing, at moment of hearing, at moment of thinking. Otherwise, there cannot be direct awareness of any reality at all.
By people who have no understanding or interest in the teachings, or family members who have may have wrong understandings, but actually they can still be associating with the wise at those times with understanding and metta. They shouldn't have any contact with people who don't have good understanding, and they should just follow Ajahn everywhere or something like that. But actually, again, it comes to the citta.
Be friendly.
Obviously, from our discussion, association has a very particular meaning there. Like Ajahn says, following, it means following. But doesn't mean not being in the company of.
That's why we went to have discussion with many people in many places.
With many different ideas.
Yeah.
Wrong practices, or if one can help, one helps, or avoid.
What's wrong with talking about the right, correct, true words? So it can be taught anytime, anywhere, to anyone.
Breakfast, one topic you had an interest in was wise thinking, yoniso manasikara, awareness and forgetfulness, awareness with panya, not my awareness. And
Manasikara is not awareness.
I know, I'm just mentioning his...
I should be just listening, not asking for or raise a topic, but all the topic Ajahn says already. All you said already about the wise reflection, wise considering, and Ajahn said about the understanding the Dhamma, leave alone, or the seeing, hearing, touching, or anything. But I use the word is that not understand it. It's like I trying to use the word to make me like a remind that you understand that. That can talk about the yoniso and manasikara. Yoniso is yoniso and manasikara is manasikara. Awareness is awareness. Right? But I just like ask someone that you have a like a state of awareness now, give an answer that not yet, but just only the word. But if I understand that, it means that the object of citta to know that, or something like that. But it's really, it's just listening to understand it, to understand what is the Ajahn said, or Sarah or Jonathan talking about the Dhamma.
Jan just mentioned, so when we talk about yoniso manasikara, so wise attention, so actually at any moment of kusala, it is wise attention, it is yoniso manasikara. And often when it's referred to in the text, it's referring specifically to when it's understanding of realities. But awareness is different from yoniso manasikara. And as you mentioned at breakfast, often, most of the time, it's forgetfulness, ayoniso manisikara, not wise attention. And the important thing to remember is not my sati, not my yoniso or ayoniso manisikara. And you mentioned about you were impressed yesterday when there was talk about someone's son, for example, in America, and one thinks about it, but what about understanding, feeling now, something like that?
And just yesterday, Ajahn said, if you're thinking in a memory in the past, but the feeling or the vedana is there, it can be understood. That means it, follow the word awareness, vedana at that time to be a Dhamma or some kind like that. Normally it's just speak, follow the word, but not actually understand inside. But to remember understanding, I just said all the time about not only the remember the word or story. Because when it should teach it, I mean, when it dying, gone. But understand accumulated. But understand have to, inside. I use the word pachatang or something like that. To be known by, understand by itself.
So, thinking about one's son in America. So at this moment, thinking is real, but my son in America, as we all know, is just an idea. And, there is vedana every moment, so pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling when one thinks at that time. So thinking is real, vedana is real, but it's just a dharma that's gone instantly, but it's not from inside anywhere. Just a Dhamma that arises by conditions and falls away, not come from inside or outside.
I'm not clear the word the inside, but I try to use the word that understand itself to understand.
But the inside and outside, it's like a, but it's like an outside and inside, something like that.
Of hardness, a moment of understanding of hardness. Is hardness inside or outside?
Hardness is inside. When it hardness.
Being hardness, when hardness is experienced, inside or outside?
Inside.
What about the characteristic of hardness? Any inside or outside in that characteristic of hardness, or just hardness at that moment?
When we hardness, it means that when it when experience is it inside, but a hardness is outside.
I think that when there's thinking about inside and outside, it's just thinking. It's not the characteristic of hardness that is touched, because at this moment of touching, it's just that reality that is experienced, no thought about inside or outside. Afterwards, we might say, oh, that hardness is the hardness of the table and the table is outside. But that's just thinking about it. It's not the Dhamma itself that is experienced at that moment. And the same with Vedana at a moment of pleasant feeling, like when thinking about one's son in America, maybe pleasant feeling at this moment. And at that moment, no idea of inside or outside. Afterwards, one might say, oh, I had a pleasant feeling, and that pleasant feeling was inside. But that's just an idea about it. The characteristic of pleasant feeling is just pleasant feeling that arises and falls away. Visible object, we can say it's outside. But actually, when there is a little understanding of just that which is seen, no thought about where it is or here or there or inside or outside. Just that which is seen at this moment. Just that which is touched.
Can I use the word wide thinking? Wide thinking. Wise thinking. I mean like a thinking follow that I'm hearing the truth, but understand it not yet, just accumulated.
So that's why you were saying
morning, talking about understanding, getting closer and closer to understand just what is visible or just the sound which is heard, because usually we have so many ideas about what is heard and inside or outside or here or there, but actually just that which is heard, that's all. And what is seen, just that which is seen for a moment and then gone. No idea of shape or no idea of outside or inside. This is just thinking about it afterwards.
Likewise, I use the word vipaka. Like as Dan said, like a, if you don't want to know the vipaka, every moment is a vipaka. Seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. What do you use the word every moment? I don't know, but in each, it, I don't know, but.
One moment of seeing, and then many, many moments that are not vipaka, moments of kusala, moments of akusala, moments of attachment, moments of aversion, like we discussed yesterday, thinking in different ways, not vipaka. So vipaka is very brief, just for an instant, and at moments of thinking, okay. Kusala and akusala, no vipaka.
Okay, agree. Plus thinking. After that, plus thinking. Kusala or akusala. Okay.
Thinking on and on and on, or like whilst dreaming, thinking. At those times, no vipaka.
Like thinking like a dream. Yeah. Dream all the time. Not waking up yet, but follow the word, I follow the, understand the word.
We're interested to discuss more about mana, so maybe we can.
I found it useful when we were somewhere in Sri Lanka, the discussion about mana, and the difference between lopa, mana, and ditti, and just how subtle mana is and how frequently it arises. I'm wondering, Ajahn, if you can say more about that.
Mana is a dhamma.
Yes.
When there is the understanding of mana, when it appears, it's only a reality, no one there.
Yes. You used an expression while we were there, when we were talking about moments of mana, happy to be me.
It's only an example.
It's only an example. I know, yeah. It's an example, and yet it was very interesting because many of the Thai people on the trip, yeah, repeated it very, very many times.
They like new word, new phrase.
Yeah.
New idea.
Yeah. Me, just call me. In various situations, happy to be me, happy to be me.
At that very moment, what right. is there? Me.
Mana. Me, the importance of me. Without lopa. Mana is a form of lopa.
It's not lopa, but it arises with lopa.
It arises with lopa. Right, okay. Arises with lopa. There are so many examples in a day. Every time there's thinking about me and the importance of me and me. Doesn't even
or
have to be a comparison.
Happy to be you is also mana.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
I have a quote
which I appreciated, which I heard on a tape today, because I knew that this topic was coming up. Something you said that I found helpful. One with little mana and lots of metta is modest and helpful and treats everyone equally, no matter who shares some same things, has nice speech, sweet words which can be said to a friend. I appreciate considering more about how mana is like an opposite of metta, because when there's a lot of mana, and it's me who is important, there's no metta, no kindness, no helpfulness to others at such times. And the speech isn't sweet or nice. And there's no modesty. So mana is like an enemy of metta. Difficult to follow Kumprinya's good example of help everyone if there's mana at those moments. Would you say a little more about mana and metta?
The enemy of mana is dosa.
Or
metta.
Yes. Well, what I'm just... The opposite of the...
enemy of lobha is dosa, but when there is mana, there is no metta, no
or the friendliness. Opposite, the close enemy of metta is lobha.
Associated with lobha, it is a close enemy, but actually there's no thought of friendliness at all. I think attachment is the close enemy of metta, but when there is mana, then, and I remember in your book on mana, you also talk a lot about how when there's metta, when there's mana, no metta at all, because it's the thought is with oneself and one's importance, not being humble and caring for others. To be me, actually, no metaphor at that time. Or meta at those moments. Or they should have the laid out the lunch this way, or this, no meta at all. Or why the staff so slow, or no meta.
Sure, we begin with only a dhamma, whatever it is. Only a dhamma. Because in the Satipatthana Sutta, it says that as soon as the object is the object of awareness, it falls away instantly. Not permanent, so it cannot be object of clinging.
Not worth being the object of clinging.
No, stop.
Can Satipatthana arise now? What is the object? The dog is not the object of Satipatthana.
I was just being flippant. There seems lots of dogs. No, it's just sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No dog?
No dog.
See? No eye, only sound. And that which experiences sound. And that is only once in lifetime in samsara.
Sutta, it talks about inside, outside, because when it's not the development of Satipatthana, when there's no understanding of reality, it is the sound that is taken for being outside. But actually, when it's understanding of sound, then no thought of inside or outside. In stomach, one might think it's inside and that one is outside, but actually, just sound that is heard.
Until then.
Of my body and sound here and sound there and.
By then there can be the understanding of the Upadana Khanda, see? It's there. So all the teachings, all the words of the teachings about the moment of being aware.
Yes, at this very moment. So closer and closer to Dhamma now.
Yeah. I appreciate your answering the question about mana with it's a Dhamma. As soon as we start trying to distinguish one thing from another, we move away from it's a Dhamma. We move to searching, to looking, working out. And?
Working out. Oh, looking for examples of my mana again, my mana or his mana or someone's mana.
Yes.
So what is opposite of kilesa? Yeah. And panya.